How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are birds another, and there are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Pastor Andy.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please bow your heads and join me. Father, we thank you for this morning that we can come together as your body, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are new here, that perhaps maybe have never stepped into church. Lord, I pray that your word, your message about your glorious bodily resurrection would speak to them, Lord, and not only to the newcomers, but to those that have been coming to church for a long, long time. May your word speak to them as well. Reaffirm them, Lord, that their faith is not in vain. The things that they do for you are not in vain, because Lord, you have defeated both sin and death. And as we study your word, help us and reaffirm us of this. I pray in Jesus' name, Amen. Well, good morning. I'm pushing computer. Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. Hey, man. Well, good morning. And we've been on 1 Corinthians for quite some time now. Most of you guys know this. And it is with great sadness and for some perhaps great joy that we are concluding our series on 1 Corinthians this Sunday. It is the last Sunday we will be covering 1 Corinthians. I know those of you who are smart, you say, wait a minute, there's a chapter 16. Well, you're right, there is a chapter 16. My encouragement to you is go home and read it and go buy a commentary and read that too. And there you go. Well, Just to recap really quick, our passage this morning is verses 35 to 58, and that's a pretty big chapter, pretty big section. And just to understand our passage better, we just really quickly need to cover verses 1 to 34. And basically, the Apostle Paul is dealing with some issues within the church where people are second-guessing or they're doubting the fact that there is a bodily resurrection. And, the way Paul reasons with this is, from verses 1 to 34, is basically this. If there is no bodily resurrection, Jesus didn't, Jesus never defeated sin or death, so therefore, everything we do is ridiculous, it's useless. And therefore, if there is no resurrection, there is no hope. And if there's no hope, why the heck are we living this Christian life? It doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, we should just go out there and go crazy. There's a commentator, something Garland. I think it's John Garland, but I don't know his first name, but I know his last name, Garland. He says this, and I think he summarizes verses 1 to 34 really well. He says, resurrection means endless hope, but no resurrection means a hopeless end. And that's absolutely true on the most basic level of your faith. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the dead physically, then therefore what we believe and what we're doing is hopeless. There is no meaning. There is no end goal. Now, what does it mean to resurrect? Now, in the most simplest way, it's basically the dead becoming alive. You can see it like zombie movies or whatnot. But this idea that you who are physically dead, buried, when you resurrect, you come to life. And there's this idea that you also ascend into heaven. And so the perfect example or model of this resurrection term is Jesus Christ. You look at Jesus Christ. He died physically. He was buried and he was dead for 3 days. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. He became alive. Not a spirit kind of alive, like, oh, I'm some spirit that's floating around. But it is the actual physical coming alive of his body. And he not just came alive, but he ascended into heaven. So this concept of resurrection is not very well received. And you know what? Rightly so, if you think about it. It's such a extreme way of thinking. It's like, yeah, scientifically, probably not possible. And so the Greco-Romans during the time were highly skeptical that a physical body can resurrect. But again, the Apostle Paul says, verses 1 to 34, without this physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, without the physical resurrection of the dead, then our faith is useless, is meaningless. The resurrection is a aspect of our faith that must be true. Otherwise, everything we're doing, everything we believe, is useless. So, verses 1 to 34 affirms that the bodily resurrection is central to the gospel. Now in our passage, verses 35 to 58, the Apostle Paul is dealing with two questions, two philosophical questions. The first question, how are the dead raised? We see that in verse, if you have your Bible, verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? So that's the first question. The second question, with what kind of body do they come? So the first one, how are they raised? Well, there is no real scientific or I can't list down exactly how it's going to happen. But what we do know is Jesus Christ himself resurrected. And when he rose from the dead, he showed himself bodily to people and people recognized him. People saw and knew that that was Jesus Christ. So how are the dead raised? Well, we don't exactly know how, but we do know that God is the one who initiates. He is the one who does the act of raising the dead, just like Jesus Christ. And that is why it's fundamental to remember that Jesus Christ is our, what they call, first fruit. Or in another way of understanding, he is our leader. He is the one who initiates these things, and we follow after him. So because God raised Jesus from the dead, because God is all-powerful, he has the ability to do anything he wants, he is sovereign, God does this according to his own strength and his own understanding. So how are the dead raised? Through God's power. And I know it might not be as satisfying for some of us, because maybe some of us want to know the actual little steps and things like that. But I can't tell you that. But all I can tell you is, how are the dead raised? Through the power of God. And we see that in Jesus Christ. The second question, and this is the main question that we're going to be talking about today, is with what kind of body do they come? Now, this is a really good question, because as I mentioned earlier, you know, if you ever watch zombie movies, and I know people are talking about the future or upcoming zombie apocalypse, this idea, you see images like TV shows like The Walking Dead and Zombieland and all this, where you have these physical bodies coming out of the grave, and they're decaying, and it's, you know, flesh is gone, and they walk like this, and this idea. So the Greco-Romans had this idea that, wait a minute, if the body comes to life, then the body must be a very hideous, smelly, disgusting, not very attractive, not very like welcoming, approachable person. I watch Walking Dead, I'm like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to go up to him. Hey, how's it going? You know, what you want to do is, you're terrified, so you want to kill that thing, right? And apparently you shoot him in the head. That's the movie way of killing zombies. But anyway, so, you know, the way we see the living dead is probably the same way the Greeks thought of the living dead, right? And so therefore, they can't grasp this idea like, wait a minute, if there is a bodily resurrection, how does that actually look like? I mean, does it look like the movies? Or like, it's such a weird or hard concept to grasp around. So they ask the Apostle Paul the question, well, what kind of body do they come? Well, the Apostle Paul, in verses 37 to 49, basically gives us an illustration to answer this question. With what kind of body do they come? So the illustration is this. You look at a seed, and you look at what comes out of a seed. Now, it's not rocket science. Most of us know. If you plant a seed, you take care of it, what comes out of the seed is basically whatever that seed is. So I use the case of a sunflower seed. Now, we know what a sunflower looks like. And it looks very different than the actual sunflower seed. But what the Apostle Paul is saying is, if you look at this illustration of a seed and the plant, it looks very different, but it's still very much the same thing, same person. In the same way, human beings are all different. There are different fleshes. There's the flesh of a fish. There's the flesh of an animal. There are fleshes of human beings. And even within the makeup of the human being, we're all different. There is no exact two people. Even if you're a twin, right, Monique and Michelle, you're not the exact two person. I mean, if you look at them, sure, they're twins, but the hairstyle is different. They have different personalities. They kind of talk the same, but they're not the same. You know, I've been married for a couple months now, and people are saying that Brini and I, we talk the same. And somebody even said, I can't believe they said this, we're starting to look the same. I'm like, you know, that's a scary thing, you know. That's not a good thing. So I'm starting to run. So we're starting to look the same. But in reality, we're still very different. God made me differently than Briony, but he brought our differences together to complement one another, to support one another. In the same way, every single human being has a different seed. There's no two of the same. We're all unique. And in the same way, because you are unique, your plant will be unique and be different. And so when you think of, because there are no two of the same, because there are differences in flesh and different types of flesh, the Apostle Paul is making the illustration to help us understand that in the same way, there are differences between a earthly flesh and a heavenly flesh. See, perhaps this idea of earthly flesh and heavenly flesh is like, whoa, this is complicated. Just think of it like seed. Your earthly flesh is you right now, and you are a seed. But when you transform into the heavenly flesh, that seed becomes what it's supposed to be, and that is the heavenly form. See, think of it that way. So you right now on this earth, you are a seed. And the Apostle Paul says verse 37, "And what you sow is not the body that is to be." So who you are right now, here on this earth, is not the body that is to be. And this should give us a lot of joy. You know, I'm getting older. I'm getting chubbier. The waist is getting bigger. You know, the one thing I do like about getting older is I'm getting less acne. So it's kind of nice. So that's kind of a good thing. But, you know, for those of us who are physically suffering, for those of us who struggle and deal with a lot of very serious issues like mental health, depression, identity issues, perhaps some of us have a disease that you've been dealing with for a very, 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 very long time. This is good news, that the body that you have right now is not what it's going to be when you transform into the heavenly body. And that should give us great joy, that the sufferings that we have, the struggles, the things that we wrestle with, it's not going to be forever. And so the illustration, and then so in verses 37 to 49, the Apostle Paul basically breaks it down into two things. You have the earthly body, and you have the heavenly body. Oh, earthly body, heavenly body. And he basically does this like a comparison thing, and I broke it down for you guys. So the earthly body is perishable. If you guys read, I forgot if it's in First, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, where he talks about the Apostle Paul talks about himself as the having a body that's like a jar of clay, you know, treasures stored in jars of clay. And this imagery of jars of clay is this very fragile thing, and it's perishable. It can break any time. But he says that in this jar of clay is great treasure, and that's Jesus Christ. That's having the Holy Spirit in him, having the good news of Jesus Christ in him. And so, and we all know this. Just look 5 years ago and you look at yourself now, you are perishing. Your body is, it's dying. That's the reality of it. But see, the seed that is sown here on this earth is perishable, but the heavenly body is raised imperishable. So it's raised in the sense that it will not die and it will not die. It's imperishable. And likewise, the earthly body is sown in dishonor. And those of us who ever take a moment to reflect on our own life and how we live according to God, we know that we are sinners and we by nature dishonor God. We live a life that is constantly perhaps putting God second in our life, making other things more important. So we dishonor God naturally in our earthly body. But in the heavenly body, it will be raised in glory, sinless, holy, pure, glorious. And the earthly body is also sown in weakness, but the heavenly body is raised in power. And again, I keep going back to this. If you ever reflect on your own life in light of God and how that all fits in, you know that to follow Christ is very difficult. And a lot of times in our earthly body, we are so weak. It's so hard. We struggle and it's difficult. But in the glorious, raised heavenly body, we won't have weakness, but in fact, we will have power. And that's something for those of us who struggle constantly, we should look forward to. That is a great and wonderful thing, to actually have power and full victory over sin and temptation and so on. And lastly, the earthly body is sown in this natural body, but in the heavenly body, it is raised in a spiritual way. Spiritual in the sense that God's Spirit is with us. So, with what kind of body do they come? Well, it's simple. The Apostle Paul answers them by saying, look, the body that you have is your earthly body, but that earthly body is transformed and it becomes a heavenly body. So when you are raised from the dead, you are not necessarily getting a brand new body. Like, you're exchanging. So for example, like, I'm not happy with the way I look. I'm not happy with who I am. I'm not happy that I'm bald. So I am going to exchange all of this for, you know, like a body like Gary Poon's, you know, like, yeah, I want that. So, you know, I'm not getting rid of this and I want to take on Gary Poon's body. But it's this idea, the Apostle Paul is saying, no, there's different bodies. There's the earthly body and the heavenly body, but there is continuity between that. There is this idea that your earthly body transforms and becomes a heavenly body. So you're not exchanging who you are, but rather you are becoming, you are transforming into the plant that you're supposed to be. And that plant is exactly those things: imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. Not perishable, dishonored, weakness, and natural body. So this image of this, your earthly body, that's your seed. But you become, you transform, you change by the power of God into the heavenly body. You become that beautiful, imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual sunflower seed. So it's important that you understand this, that it's not an exchanging of bodies, but rather there's continuity. And, you know, because there's continuity, there are vast ethical implications, meaning you have to take care of yourself. You know, I know sometimes we're cynical and we get to this idea that, you know what, whatever, it's in heaven, I'm going to be skinny and like super athletic and all this. So, you know, I'm just going to abuse my body here on earth. Like, whatever, I don't care. And I'm guilty of this. I'm the guy that loves pork fat. And I'm the guy that loves like Diet Coke. And I can't give that up. So when I'm studying this, I'm like, oh man, there's continuity between my earthly body and my heavenly body. So therefore, because what I do and how I live and how I eat and how I take care of this earth has implications, therefore it affects, I have to consider what I do. You have to consider how you treat your body. You have to consider how you respect your body. You have to consider how you treat this earth. There are vast ethical implications to this idea of a physical resurrection, because there is continuity. There isn't this abandonment and I get to pick whatever I want. And that's like, that's this idea of heaven. That's not what it is. The resurrection of the body is your earthly body transforms into your heavenly body. And so the question then is, why? Why continuity? Why continuity with the earthly and the heavenly body? Number one. The reason why there needs to be continuity is because the earthly body alone cannot enter heaven. Look at verse 50. I tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood, which is a way of saying your human nature, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. Flesh and blood, who you are with this earthly body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the imperishable inherit the imperishable. And for obvious reasons, there are obvious reasons why you as an earthly person, apart from your heavenly body, cannot enter is because, we talked about this, it's weak. It's dishonoring. It's perishable. It's your natural will. God is absent. I mean, it's corruptible and it's not perfect. And because it's corruptible and not perfect, it has no place in heaven. So you by yourself cannot enter heaven. And this is one of the hardest things that we need to tell ourselves constantly, especially us young people, because we're driven on this idea that I can achieve all things. You can try and you can try and you can try, but at the end of the day, you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn eternal life. You cannot go before God and say, let me in because I am, based on my own earthly abilities and my earthly flesh, I am good enough. You can't. The Word of God tells us you can't. So therefore, the reason why there needs to be continuity is because you need to transform into the heavenly body. And by transforming and being changed into the heavenly body, you may enter the kingdom of God. And the second reason why continuity is important is because it means that there was a change that took place. If there is no transformation, you never changed. You were always the same. And this change solely comes from God. God is the one who does this change in our life. And you know when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it convicts you of your sins and it challenges you to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And when you do, you notice it. And the Bible and the Apostle Paul says this change takes place instantaneously. It happens quicker than the snap. And when the Apostle Paul is talking about this change, and we see this change of this transformation of bodily resurrection, he's talking about the, because he's using the in verse 51, in the twinkle of an eye at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. So this idea of transformation and change from the earthly body to the heavenly body, this will take place when Jesus returns. So this isn't necessarily like right now, but it's when Jesus returns. And it's this image of this idea that Christians are to right now waiting for the return of Christ. And when Christ returns, when the trumpet sounds, and like that, the dead, the imperishable will become, the perishable will become imperishable. The dead will become alive, and they will transform into their glorious heavenly body. And it will happen like that. And that's what we're waiting for. Till this day, we're waiting for Christ to return for this, for Jesus to come back, to raise the dead, to fully completely defeat sin and death. And this is a good thing. You know, I'll just mention this. When in verse 51, where he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery: we shall not all sleep." You know, when the Apostle Paul is pointing to this return of Christ, that when Jesus returns, there are going to be people that are alive, and when they're alive, I mean, not everybody's going to be dead, and all of a sudden Jesus is going to return, but there are going to be people that are alive, and when that. And so therefore, he says, not everyone will be asleep. Not everyone will be dead. It's because Jesus will come back and there will be people alive. So Jesus, we are all waiting for the return of Christ. Because when that moment comes, there will be change. And there will be transformation. And there will be this earthly body being changed and transformed into the earthly body. And it will happen like that. It's not going to be a one-hour process. It's not going to take days. It's not going to take weeks. It's going to happen like that. And the third implication, or the third reason why continuity with the earthly body and the heavenly body is important, is because there are monumental implications. And I say monumental implications because in verse 54 to 56, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortals put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So this idea that The law, which is meant for good, reveals and shows to us that we are sinners. And because and through the law, we know that we're sinners, and because we know that the consequences of sin is death, it's this trickling effect. So when the Apostle Paul says, when there is a change and when there is a transformation from the earthly body to the heavenly body, it has implications of death having no victory over you. It means that death is no longer having power. Sin no longer has power over you. So therefore, the physical resurrection is monumentally important, because if your body is not raised from the dead, death wins. If your body is not raised from the dead, sin wins, because it's death and sin that keeps you dead. But we know that when Jesus comes back, the dead will raise, thus showing that sin has no victory over you. Death itself has no victory over you. And this image, actually, let's go to Isaiah first, and then I'll explain this. So Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25, verse 7 to 8. Now, this is speaking about God's great day when he comes and he will exercise universal salvation for those who follow him. Verse 7, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He who is God will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away every tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. So this idea of the sting of death and how death has no victory, think of it like this. And I think this is the best way of understanding this this explanation. Is think of it like this. Death is like a shadow, like this ginormous shadow. And the shadow covers, like a region. And think of it like a shadow covering you, covering your whole entire life. And so when Jesus says, through the resurrection of the physical body, the earthly body to the heavenly body, it is defeating of sin and sin and death. It's this idea that shadow that covers over you, that is death, is now taken away and destroyed. So it's this liberating feeling, this liberating idea that this thing that covers over you and just haunts you, so to speak, is completely removed and destroyed. So when Isaiah 25 talks about this, how God will take death and he will destroy it and he will get rid of it. So no longer will the shadow cover you and give guilt and oppress you and so on and so on. And that is why the bodily resurrection is fundamentally important for our faith, because without that shadow of death and sin will continue to cover over us. We'll never be free from it. Without the bodily resurrection, we'll never actually have victory over sin and death. So what? Well, like verses 1 to 34, we need to be reaffirmed in Jesus Christ's physical resurrection and your impending resurrection. And by studying this passage, we also need to be reaffirmed that God, through Jesus Christ, has victory over sin and death. Therefore, as I close, verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. You know, I know that maybe it's not the not for us. Maybe for some of you, it's not really the resurrection question or the debate that's making your faith complicated. Maybe there are other things about what you believe that makes other people mock at you or question you or make it really difficult for you to be a Christian. But you got to remember that it is these doctrines, it is Jesus Christ and the essentials of Him living the life that we could not live, taking on our sins, dying on the cross for us when we deserve to die on the cross, resurrecting on the third day, ascending into heaven now gloriously alive physically and ruling as the Lord over the heavens and the earth. And it's holding on to these doctrines that are fundamentally important for us in our everyday life. And we need to continue to be steadfast in holding these things, because without these things, there's no point in being a Christian. Without these things, you will give up. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, be reaffirmed, be reaffirmed, be reaffirmed. Be confident in the faith and the life and death and resurrection of your Jesus Christ, because it is through that you yourself will raise from the dead, that you yourself will have victory over sin and death. And it's holding on to this that gives Christians that passion and that desire and that willingness to be steadfast, to continue serving the Lord, continue preaching the gospel, continue to love people that are not always the best or the easiest to love. It is this that gives us the passion and the faith to stand firm when people say, oh, you're one of those Christians. Oh, you're, you know, so on and so on. So church, let's look forward to the day when Jesus returns and when the trumpet sounds and we are all raised instantaneously. We are transformed from our earthly body, who is weak, dishonoring, perishable, transform into something that is glorious and is heavenly, and it's who God wants us to be. That's something we should look forward to, and that's something we should be excited about, and that's something that we should share to others. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you defeated sin and death through your physical and bodily resurrection. And Lord, now as we wait upon your return, help us to be steadfast. Help us to be faithful in learning more about you, in knowing more about you, and making the effort to be grounded in your word of God. I mean, in your word, so that we may be immovable, we may be steadfast, we may persevere, we may continue to run this race well, knowing that one day we will transform and we will be changed by your Spirit. We will raise from the dead physically and become our earthly body, how you want us to be and how glorious that is, Lord. Give us this, continue to give us this great hope and great joy in waiting up for this moment. Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.